You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey there, welcome to episode 4 of Sample Excavator. I'm your host, Angela Robledo, a sample archaeologist digging through the crates of music's past to piece together the stories behind the world's biggest records. Each episode will follow one sample or sound, either going from the present to the past or the past to the present. This week, we will be talking about one of the most recognized but least known figures in 20th century music. This person wrote or produced 51 Billboard Hot 100 charting hits in their career. A staggering statistic on its own, but even more legendary when coupled with the fact that they were only active in the music industry for 7 years. You heard me right. Bronx-born and raised songwriter Burt Burns, also known as Burt Russell, wrote or produced 51 charting hits in just 7 years. I think one would be hard-pressed to find any other songwriter in history with that level of consistency, especially considering that Burns had no musical background and only started in the music industry when he was 30 years old. He was a natural in the studio and wrote and produced for the Isley Brothers, the Beatles, Van Morrison, Janis Joplin, the McCoys, Neil Diamond, and helped discover Jimmy Page and later Led Zeppelin between the years of 1960 and 1967, when he died from a heart attack at 37 years old at the height of his career. Today, we're going to honor his legacy by looking through some of his greatest hits and both the samples he used to make them and modern songs that sample his. We'll start with possibly the most popular song he ever wrote. While the most popular recording by far was done by the Beatles, it was actually originally recorded unsuccessfully by the Top Notes and semi-successfully by the Isley Brothers beforehand. Burt Burns had written Twist and Shout in 1962, originally presenting it to the Top Notes. However, the Isley Brothers cover, which he produced, revealed the potential for the song. The next year, the Beatles picked up the song for their debut album, Please Please Me, turning it into the worldwide mega hit it is today, with incredible pop culture uses, such as the parade scene in Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Before we take a listen to Twist and Shout, we have to backtrack a touch. Burns did a bit of traveling before working as a producer and frequented Latin American countries such as Cuba. There, he was exposed to Latin rock, salsa, and mambo, and was one of the first white producers to incorporate such influences into American pop music. Take La Bamba, for example, and pay attention to the guitar riff. Now listen to the Beatles' version of Twist and Shout. Obvious influence, and one that Burns admitted to.
You look so good, you know you got.
Other British bands started to take note of his writing, like the Rolling Stones, who performed covers of his songs Cry to Me and Everybody Needs Somebody to Love in 1965. This led to Atlantic Records sending him to the UK, making him the first American record producer sent overseas to find talent. It's during this time that Burns met young studio guitarist Jimmy Page and recognized his virtuosity. Led Zeppelin, the band Jimmy Page ended up starting under the urging of Burns, ended up recording a tribute song to him shortly after his death, which was later released under the title Baby Come Home.
Talking for hours and hours on the telephone. And then one day, I said you up to walk the right out of my life. Leaving me all by myself, all alone to cry every night.
Burns had a more tangible role in starting the career of a different artist from the UK, a young singer named Van Morrison. Burns originally worked with Morrison when he was with the UK band called Them. He convinced Morrison to return to New York with him and sign to his new label, Bang Records, as a solo artist. Together, they worked on Brown Eyed Girl, which would go on to be one of Van Morrison's biggest hits of his career.
Days when the rains came down in the hollow, playing a new game, laughing and a running, hey hey, skipping and a jumping in the misty morning fog with all our hearts a thumping, and you, a brown eyed girl.
An act earlier signed to Bang Records were the McCoys, who famously recorded Burns' song Hang On Sloopy in 1965, which became a number one hit. As with many Burns songs, it was written for and recorded by other artists unsuccessfully before striking gold two or three covers later. Hang On Sloopy is notable because it not only borrows some chords and melodies from Twist and Shout, but also was actually interpolated by Jim Jacobs and Warren Casey for their song Summer Nights in the Grease musical. I personally find it odd that a song for a musical set in the 50s would sample a song from the 60s, but I have to admit it works wonderfully in Summer Nights, which became a hit in its own right in the 1970s.
Had me a blast.
Summer loving happened so fast.
I met a girl crazy for me.
Met a boy cute as can be.
Summer days drifting away to other summer nights.
Well, 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 tell me more, tell me more. Did you get very far?
Tell me more, tell me more. Like does he have a car?
In 1965, Burns wrote the song I Want Candy, using an unforgettable Bo Diddley beat. It was originally performed by the Strangeloves and reached number 11 on the Billboard Hot 100 that year. In 1982, new wave band Bow Wow Wow recorded a cover that, at the time, barely broke the top 50 and had little commercial success, but is now the version most associated with the song and is an enduring new wave classic.
I know a guy who
The last Burns song we'll be talking about this week is Peace of My Heart. Burns originally produced it for Irma Franklin, Aretha Franklin's sister, in 1967. He wanted Van Morrison to record it as well, but Van Morrison declined in lieu of working on his own songwriting craft. Irma Franklin's version went top 10 on the R&B charts and reached 62nd on the Billboard Hot 100. It wouldn't be until the following year, however, after Burns died, that Big Brother and Holding Company and their lead singer Janis Joplin would record their famous version of the song. The single reached number 12 on the Billboard charts and helped launch the entire album, entitled Cheap Thrills, to number 1 on the charts for 8 consecutive weeks. That wraps up this week's shorter episode of Sample Excavator. I could do 10 more episodes on all of Burns' other hits, but hopefully the ones we talked about this week are enough to give you a sense of his omnipresence in mid-20th century pop music. If you want to learn more about his life and career, Joel Selvin wrote a book about his life called Here Comes the Night, The Dark Soul of Burt Burns and the Dirty Business of Rhythm and Blues, which came out in 2014. In 2016, a documentary titled Bang, The Burt Burns Story, co-directed by Burt Burns' son, Brett Burns, and Bob Sarles, was released at smaller film festivals. I'll include links to both in the show notes. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at idigitfirst, that's IDIGIT1ST, all one word, on both platforms, and you can find the podcast at Sample Excavator on both platforms as well. If you are enjoying this project, please rate, comment, and subscribe on your preferred podcast streaming service. You can support the podcast for as little as 25 cents an episode on Patreon. This really helps keep the podcast above board as I go through proper channels to pay for the songs in order to legally use them in the show, which can add up quickly. Sample Excavator is researched and written by myself and produced by Guy Tannenbaum. The theme song was written and produced by David Ramos. You can email suggestions, questions, comments, and concerns to thesampleexcavator@gmail.com. Songs from today's episode can be found on nearly all major streaming platforms, and links to the articles and interviews referenced can be found in the show notes. As usual, here's a sneak peek at a song we'll be looking at next week. Until then, keep on digging.
My name is Damone Carter, aka Dem One.
And I'm Nate LeBlanc.
And we are two-thirds of the crew that hosts the Dad Bod Rap Pod.
Our third co-host is internationally acclaimed hip-hop writer David Ma.
As the name of the show suggests, Dad Bod Rap Pod is a podcast where men of a certain age discuss, debate, and dissect rap music.
While we are somewhat classicist in our tastes and grew up listening to hip-hop from the 80s until now, we are also interested in the music's present and future.
Over the past 115 episodes, we have interviewed rap legends like Prince Paul, Del the Funky Homo Sapien, Roxanne Shante, Kool Keith, DJ Premier, and even the proto-rap group The Last Poets, just to name a few.
We also make it a point to talk to writers, commentators, and creatives shaping the genre. We've interviewed journalists and best-selling authors like Nathaniel Friedman, Jeff Weiss, Hanif Abdul-Rakib, and Adam Mansbach.
And as Nate mentioned, even though we are products of the 80s, 90s, we take time out to talk to some of the most important voices in rap today. Groups and individuals like Little Brother, Open Mike Eagle, Billy Woods, and Rap Ferreira. If you don't recognize any of those names, that's okay, because what we love most on this podcast is to introduce old school fans of rap music to new music that we know you will love. New episodes every week on Thursday. We are the Dad Bod Rap Pod.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Fernino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune in to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.